I mean, it's just all about signals. Just like when I poop in the middle of a work day now. It's just like...
Deer do that as well.
Exactly. But now with a reflective vest. You got to send the right signals, guys. That's the message for today.
That's right.
Welcome to Highly Questionable. That's Dominique Foxworth. That's Katie Nolan. I think I have the power to do this for today. So, yeah, let's get started.
Who decided that you get to be in the middle square?
I also asked the same question.
Oh, I showed up. I woke up like this, in fact.
You were late.
Should the NFL postpone the Steelers-Browns game?
I mean, they haven't practiced yet. They haven't practiced in a long time. They have a quarterback, Baker Mayfield, who just said that he hasn't thrown a football since the last game that he played in against the Steelers, which happened to be a very narrow win over their second stringers. And so I want to jump in to just the mind of the NFL league office here, because I know Cleveland, like, they're rightfully begging for postponement here. But if you're the NFL, you're thinking to yourself, are they really even going to beat the Steelers, like, to begin with, against their first stringers? And then you're thinking to yourself, is anyone going to not watch this game? Because, Dominique, I feel like you could just throw a football on a table and just write the word playoffs on a little placard, and you're still going to get, like, 20 million people to watch this thing.
I mean, you'll get me for the first 5 minutes. I'll watch and wait for something to happen. But after that, if you don't move the football or at least slam some helmets together, I may turn the channel. But in this case, I understand the calls for postponement. However, that is assuming that things will get better if you wait. And you have not considered the scenario that they keep having positive tests and they keep having to postpone, and a team that backed their way into the playoffs will then be holding up the entire playoffs for all the rest of the teams that we care about, and all the games that we care about watching will all be on hold because we're waiting for a team that we all assume, even at full strength, we're probably going to get knocked out this round. So I understand that they wanted to be fair, but nothing has been fair this year. They're following the kind of rules, if you want to call it that. They're not very hard, fast rules, but the rules they set out, they're sticking to them. Like, I am rarely one who wants to defend the NFL's decision-making, but in this situation, I feel like this is the best possible outcome, is go ahead, get this game over with. Sorry, Cleveland fans, you made it back to the playoffs. That is enough to celebrate for, and hopefully we can go forward with teams that are not contracting the virus.
Yeah, Dom, I think you hit the nail on the head there. It doesn't feel fair because it isn't fair, but it is following the rules. And very rarely do you have a situation where the rules have been followed and it feels unfair. And it's what those of us who might have been preaching from the beginning that we shouldn't do this season have been saying all along, which is like, there's going to be situations where you're like, that's not fair, competitive balance. But you can only have so much competitive balance when there is a pandemic that's still raging across the country and the world, except for some countries where they've done stuff like not do football. Like, it's just, this was going to happen. It's an inevitability. It's entirely unfair that Stefanski will not be there to call plays. It sucks that he has COVID. I'm not on the NFL's side, but I also don't know what to say. There's no other way
side
to do.
You
no,
got one of those NFL
if
hats.
You wanted this season, if you were rooting like for this Rob season, Lowe. If you wanted this season to happen, this is what this season looks like. This was what was always going to be able to happen. I don't know the answer to this, and I don't know if you do, Dom, but I'm wondering, is there a way that they could make it so he could do it remotely? I know Mina brought it up yesterday.
I want to know more than that. How much does it actually matter, though, Dominique, that Kevin Stefanski is not maybe even involved at all in the play calling in this game?
Well, I think that calling plays feels like one of the last things in football that is more art than science. It's somewhat about feel, it's about anticipation, and it's about making adjustments. And we're accustomed to replacing alignment or replacing a player, building a game plan around that. They have been using the same process for calling plays, making decisions, making in-game adjustments. They've used the same kind of line of communication and command order to make those decisions. And then just going to rip it all up. Most important game of the year. Let's figure out some new stuff on the fly. Even the coaches who are not Kevin Stefanski have roles and responsibilities that they have on game day that someone else who has probably never done it before is going to have to step in and do those things. So they're going to be a step behind as far as adjusting to things the way that the Steelers will be a step ahead when they're used to doing things the same way they always have.
I just want Browns fans to know I feel for them. I feel bad. This is like in school when you finally, the day you were like, I'm doing the homework. And you go to class, and then the teacher doesn't collect it. And you're like, but I did it this time. You always collect it and I always get in trouble. And this time I did it and you don't want it.
Hold up. You actually did your own homework?
No, only that one time.
Oh, okay.
Which old quarterback do you have more faith in this weekend? Katie's beloved Tom Brady or Drew Brees?
I hate to say, give me the guy who just broke 11 ribs, but I think I have to do that here because Tom Brady, we know one thing about him really this season, which is when he is unpressured, he is Tom Brady. He is a top five quarterback by QBR. He is excellent and the Bucs look excellent. But when he is pressured, he's Nick Mullins. He is 31st in the league by QBR. And that is not a joke. That's actually his comparable quarterback comparison there. And so against the Washington football team, like Dabadiq, Chase Young, and that defensive line, they might be the best defensive line in the league. And so that's just enough chaos to lead to just enough oblong randomness to lead to just enough of a low scoring game where I'm like, just give me Drew Brees. Give me the geriatric guy with a whole broken torso.
Yeah, I think Drew Brees, I have more confidence in this weekend. Tom Brady is probably the better quarterback at this point. Drew Brees is the most efficient and accurate quarterback, but you're right. It's all about the matchup this weekend. I would be concerned about the Saints and the rib injuries to Drew Brees in the age, in the weather, if it wasn't for the fact that they're playing the Bears. And the Bears, what they do defensively is rush the passer. And the good thing about being the Saints is they run the ball really well and they get the ball out of Drew Brees' hands really quickly. That's the opposite for Tampa Bay and Tom Brady. He holds onto the ball. He attacks downfield and their rushing attack hasn't been nearly as potent. So I still think both quarterbacks will probably win. But if I had to put my money on one, it's certainly Drew Brees.
Yeah, that's kind of the point I was going to make. You don't have to put your money on just one. They're not playing each other. So you can have faith in both of them, which I do, which is partially a choice, but partially based in facts. I think the Saints are about to, they have to do it right now. They're not going to have a collection of talent like this if Drew Brees retires, which is what everybody thinks is going to happen because he said he was going to retire last season and then he played. I think he said he's played his last four seasons like they're his last. So at some point, we have to start believing him that he's going to go soon. And then they're going to run into some cap space issues that certainly they'll still have a lot of talent on their team, but they won't have a bunch of money to fill the gigantic Drew Brees-sized hole that is there. And I think Tom Brady is Tom Brady, and I don't ever want to talk about him on this show ever again. So I'm just going to say, if you don't root for the old guys, you don't realize you're getting old.
I was going to say, Katie, there really is a giant Tom Brady-sized hole, not just in your heart, but in your answer. Like, how are you actually going to feel this weekend?
I'm realizing that someone's going to write an article about this, but honestly, I'm rooting for him. I continue to root for him. There are things I love about Tom Brady. There's things I very, very much don't like about Tom Brady, but one of the things I love is the way he plays football, and I like watching him do that.
Dominic, you see that? You see that headline? Katie Nolan, colon, there are many things I don't like about Tom Brady.
Will you think differently of Lamar Jackson if he drops to 0-3 in the playoffs this weekend?
I mean, I'm not one of those people who believes that the playoffs is a cauldron that reveals the innermost workings of a person's soul and their character and their true identity. So I'm inclined to say no to this question. But Lamar Jackson said on Wednesday of this week that the number one thing on his mind is this specific narrative that he chokes in the playoffs. And maybe there's an error already in that, the mere acknowledging that this really does weigh on him, but he's also maybe just being realistic because this is 1,000,000% going to be the book on Lamar Jackson for a very long time, even if I am told, like, people like Dominique also are on football teams and they also have impact on, like, whether a win is a win and a loss is a loss.
So did I just get blamed for the fact that Lamar Jackson hasn't won either of his two playoff games?
Terrible secondary.
I absolutely would not change in a negative way, but I feel like, you know, when it's that movie that you really like or the actor that you really like and everyone's like, hey, that guy stinks or that movie's terrible, you just kind of grab it a little tighter and defend it a little more. If he loses again, I might love him even more just because the way that people react to him is so absurd. The pressure that they put on him is so ridiculous, considering the fact that he turned 24 this week. And I would argue that no team leans on any single player more than Baltimore leans on Lamar Jackson. So, yes, it is fair to be critical of that team for being 14-2 and not advancing last year. It's fair to be critical if they don't win another playoff game this year, but it's not fair to put it all on Lamar Jackson. But that's the life of being a quarterback, because if they do win this weekend, everyone is going to be singing yes. Lamar's praises.
Yeah, I noticed that same quote too, Pablo. It stood out to me that he said the number one thing on his mind is that narrative. And I just want to sit him down and be like, you are the one writing the book. Right? Like, we get confused and think that sports media is writing the book, but they're not. They're reading it and they're trying to interpret it. You are in charge of the narrative. Do not let the narrative tell you who you are, because that's when you start to get lost in it. I can speak from personal experience. If you just have a job where people watch you do it and tell you what they think of how you do it, if you listen to them, they're going to be right. Whereas if you just have faith in yourself, know what it is you do and how you do it well, and then continue to do it well and make that the number one priority, then you control the narrative regardless of what anyone says, because no one can tell you who you are.
I feel empowered.
I'm old now.
I feel so empowered after that speech.
Yeah, if I can add some personal advice for Lamar Jackson on that note, just go on Twitter and fave all the nice things people say and just pretend you never saw the other stuff. It works like decently well.
I'll give him a little bit better advice. Win.
Yeah, probably that. But you should take Pablo's advice, because as you can see, the sun is setting on Pablo Torre.
Do you question if Juju Smith-Schuster was too honest?
Juju Smith-Schuster cannot stop trolling people. And I appreciate that on one level. He's very good at building an audience. He's like a TikTok superstar. But also, it turns out, like, maybe Cleveland should be mad at him.
Do you feel like this Browns team has a different vibe, a more successful vibe than what you've seen in the past from them?
Nah, I think they're still the same Browns team I play every year. I think they're nameless, great faces. Yes, they have a couple good players on their team, but at the end of the day, like, I don't know, like, it's the Browns is the Browns. and that's just, like, one of those things that, you know, AFC North football, and they're a good team, but I'm just happy we're playing them again, you know, this Sunday.
The Browns is the Browns. I feel like that is both a statement of fact and also incredibly insulting.
Is it though? I'm sorry, but is it, like, he has to play them? He has game planned for them, you assume, because he's a professional football player on a team that just played them and is about to play them again. He is basically saying, I know them. And the way he said that they're just a gray face or whatever, that's like a remove the person, don't make it personal, play the team. It's like, we just get overreact about everything. You have not been dissed. Browns, you are the Browns. Are you mad that you're the Browns?
Sure?
Define what Browns means.
You know what it means.
No one's ever.
No one's. As a literal brown person, no one has ever pointed to someone and called you a brown and thought it meant a compliment. It's never happened. And particularly in football, when people say you're out here being like the Browns, it is not a compliment, and you know it. And they asked him, are they any different? They haven't made the playoffs in 17 years. He said, nah, they're the same Browns. That's an insult. That is much more disrespectful than him going Corvette, Corvette on your logo before the game. Like, this is actual bulletin board material. Will it have any impact on the game? Nah, just like all the other bulletin board material, this one is just less fun than watching him dance. Do you want, like...
Wow.
Wow. You're trying to find another thing you're good at, aren't you?
I'm looking, man. I'm looking.
It's not that. Look somewhere else.
Yeah,
you know the context. You know.
Hello, what are you doing?
I'm trying to get Dominique to link up with my electric snake.
Oh, Dom stopped like 10 minutes ago.
Oh,
but,
okay.
You know.
It's over.
Oh, that was it. You missed the wave.
Do you question if Andre Drummond's teammates need to do more to get open?
So Andre Drummond is the center for the Cleveland Cavaliers, which means we are doing a truly, like, irresponsible amount of Cleveland content on the show today, but let's see what happens. His rookie year has claimed a dozen
tonight to go along with 15 points. Just frozen.
So much disrespect. The man might have a jumper. He's an NBA.
Oh my goodness.
Oh no. Like, this team is supposed to be pretty good. Like, they have young, talented players. Darius Garland is good. Colin Sexton is good.
Well, let's get to the point. I mean, I can talk about that's it.
You mean Sexland? Don't come on here and call them by their names. Their name is Sexland, and I don't think anyone in Sexland has to do a better job of getting open.
Tomorrow, 1:05 p.m. Eastern, playoff football, Colts and Bills.
It is time for us to finally grind some NFL tape. So here we have footage of the great Buffalo Bills.
Oh. Huh. Wait, move, topic. 53, on the way. Thank you.
All in the hip.
Oh, my God. What's up? Oh.
That was some good Josh Allen just sort of like Kegel exercises, I think it was just happening there. Dominique, your beloved Bills, are you intrigued?
I am intrigued. I'm certainly going to watch this game. And one of the best things about being on the football team is when you're on one of those good rolls and no matter what, you are having fun at practice, because practice can be a miserable place. You're out there popping it, shaking it, dropping it like Megan Thee Stallion. You are in a good mindset to win this weekend. I love it.
Yeah, it's fine. I don't want to add anything. Have fun at practice. If you do this elsewhere, you might get judged, but have fun.
Oh, yeah. Watch it, Katie. Watch it, Katie. Drink it in.
There it is.
I mean, Diggs is the real star.
Yes.
Diggs is the real star.
Yes.
He is excellent.
I like that he knows, like, I should get out of here. Just sprints out at the end.
Tomorrow at 8 p.m. Eastern, Portland versus number one Gonzaga.
So Portland is not that good, but Gonzaga is 12-0 in this pandemic, which may stop this sport from playing more games pretty soon. But until then, look at what Jalen Suggs, their point guard, is doing. Give me a break.
For freshman.
Yes. Possible number one draft pick doing that.
You can't blow that layup, though.
I mean,
no. I'm glad we're in a world where we will show what should have been an assist, even if the other person does not complete the basket. And there is more of this. Do we have the other pass from Jalen Suggs?
Numbers advantage. Harding pulls up and misses the three. There's Suggs.
This is from the blowout of BYU from last night. And that's a quarterback. That is a former five-star quarterback who is choosing not to get concussed for money because he's playing basketball. Now, Dominique, are you intrigued?
I mean, I'm certainly not going to watch this game because Portland has a basketball team. And, I mean, maybe Suggs should be on the Gonzaga football team. Do they have a football team? I don't know. I'm not watching college sports. It makes me uncomfortable.
Katie Nolan, are you also uncomfortable?
Yes, and I agree. And I'm glad to hear somebody like you say that, because when I say it, they think it's just because I'm a girl and I don't like sports. Which isn't true. I'm intrigued, but you know what? I'm more intrigued by he's Mr. Football and Mr. Basketball, which means this guy's got two families, and I think somebody should be looking into that, because there's got to be a Mrs. Basketball and a Mrs. Football. I don't think we should be praising him.
Is that legal in Minnesota?
I don't know.
Thank you for watching Highly Questionable. I think that was Katie Nolan who was snorting. She happens to be the host of Sports with a Question Mark. That's a podcast. Dominique Foxworth, you can find him hot taking and infuriating all of America's great cities along the Rust Belt. So thank you for watching.
He hosts ESPN Daily, Pablo Torre.
Now he's just a long term sub. Mino will be back.
How dare you?
When we had to redo the last question, it starts with Pablo doing one of these. It's really good.
Look at it.
Gonna be
I'm just trying to make this go away.
No, you're not. You're not. Shut up.
You're not fooling us.
Leave it. We like it.
Yeah, it's nice.
Nope. Now you gotta give it a little bit of lift.
Ruined it. There, that's the move.
Ooh. Wow.
What up, though?
Okay. Please don't.
You ruined it again.
My God.